Welcome to this Midrash program, Sunday morning shiur. We're at Saks. Next week, our Saks will be giving shiur at the same time. Today's shiur is on Ratzon HaTorah, the Kavod Gadol Rav Saks.
The Rambam comments in the Pirush Mishnayos in the Sefer Skul and Daf Kuf that we certainly can derive many different aspects of halacha and agada from the conduct of the avos. But yet, when it comes to particular mitzvahs, then the Rambam stresses the Torah Tzivlon Moshe. We observe technically the mitzvahs Hashem, not because they were given to the avos, but rather because they were repeated and given to us at the time of Mamet Har Sinai. And the Rambam cites two examples. One is the example of Gidhan Asha. The Torah does tell us this halacha in Parshas Vayishlach, but the Rambam writes the reason that we observe the Isra of Gidhan Asha is not because of what was told to Bnei Yaakov, but rather because of what was given to us at the time of Mamet Har Sinai. And the Rambam gives you a further illustration, and that is the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Our performance of Bris Milah, the Rambam writes, is not based on these parshios, what you find in Parshas Lech Lecha, but rather the Rambam writes because in Parshas Tazria, the Torah reiterates the obligation of Bris Milah. And therefore the Rambam writes, our mitzvah Bris Milah, that is binding on us from the time of Mamet Har Sinai. This echoes what the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Nafkuf Lamed Hei, and that is Nitna Torah v'nischat shahalacha, that one cannot necessarily glean the details of the mitzvah of Bris Milah from what you find in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Gemara is dealing with the Chiddush of Rav Asi. Rav Asi writes as follows. When you look in Parshas Tazria, the Torah instructs us of Yom HaShmini Yimo Besar Arloso. It's necessary to form a bris on day 8, but the Torah seems to link that day 8 with a natural birth. Isha Ki Tazria, the Yoda Zohar. The Torah describes the days of Tuma, Tahara, which follow, and then tells us Bris Milah occurs on day 8. Rav Asi explains as follows. The only time that this is necessary to have a misbrila on day 8, that is only if it is a natural birth. If, for example, it should be a yotzei dofen, a C-section, in such a case it is not necessarily accompanied by the requisite days of Tuma and Tara, and therefore bris milah is performed on day 1. That is the chiddush of Rav Asi. In fact, the Baal HaMor maintains that this is treated as a safek lahalacha, when in fact is the bris regarding a C-section day 1 or day 8, and in Shulchan Aruch Reish Samach Vav, we are machmir l'halacha. We wait until day 8, because if one does it on day 1 prematurely, that is an invalid milah, but we treat the bris on day 8 as a milah shelo bizmana. And therefore, if a child is born on day 8, which is Shabbos, on Shabbos, which is a C-section, in such a case, the bris will not occur on day 8, the following Shabbos, but rather on day 9. In such a case, that's how we assume lahalacha, this possible chiddush of Rav Asi. So the Gemara raises an obvious difficulty. How can you link day 8 with natural leda, tum, and tara? After all, in Parshas Lech Lecha, there the Torah also mentions the chiyuv of bris milah on day 8, and there it is not accompanied by tuma and tara, so you see that day 8 is independent of that aspect of leda. The Gemara answers that no, nitna Torah v'nischashu halacha. We derive the details of the mitzvah bris milah not based on Parshas Lech Lecha, but rather Parshas Tazria. There that linkage is created, and in such a case, that is why lahalacha we treat that as a suffix. This is what the Rambam writes as the meaning of Torah tzivulana Moshe. We can certainly look to the avos in terms of their character, their conduct, but when it comes to technical mitzvahs, then we assume Torah Tziv Alanu Moshe. And the Rambam explains that as Shita Sachachamim regarding Gidhan Asha, that Gidhan Asha only applies according to the Chachamim to a type of animal that otherwise one is allowed to eat. If you can eat the animal generally, then there's an Isra of Gidhan Asha. But if there is a Behemah Tameh, which is forbidden in its entirety, in such a case, then there is no additional Isra of Gidhan Asha. The Gemara again asks the same issue, that what do you mean? Gidhan Asha was given to Bnei Yaakov prior to that distinction of a Behemah Taora and a Behemah Tameah, and that's exactly as the Chum answered that, no, Misinai Nemar, Ela shenichta bimkalmo. As the Rambam explains, our observance of Gilan Asha is not based on Parshas Vayishlach, based on Kabbalah Satori, and therefore it only applies to a behemoth Tahor, it does not apply to a behemoth Tameya. And the Rambam writes, you should realize, sim libcha ela ikar hagadol hanichla mishnazos. Realize the potency of the statement, and that is the meaning of Torah Tziv Lana Moshe. Our observance of mitzvot is predicated on Kabbalah Satorah, Maman HaSinai, that which is given to us by Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu.
Manish Tana, in the sense that if the Gitchan Asher is in a Shema Tameya, we can't eat it anyway. So are we not allowed?
Right, but even so, would one violate the Isra of Gitchan Asher if he consumes the Gitchan Asher from a behemoth tameya? Is it only nisra behemoth tameya? Is it additionally nisra of gilan asha?
And
there could be, right, that's one issue, and there are other isurim as well, and that is there's a chiddush of gilan asha. That's because gilan asha normally, as the Gemara writes, is eitzu, rachmana asrasa, because ein beginin benosein dam. So when is that chiddush akra? That a person would be chaya for gilan asha, only in a case of behemoth Torah, we're extending to behemoth tameya. This position that the Rambam writes at length, the Torah Tziv Lana Moshe, mitzvos are gleaned from Mamed Har Sinai, perhaps one could question this based on several other sugyas that seem in fact to derive various mitzvos, or at least concepts of halacha, based on Kodeh Matan Torah, based on Avos. If you look, for example, at the sugya in Sochem and Abdalit, there the Gemara discusses the concept of Zrizim Atimim Mitzvos. And the Gemara says, where do we derive that this is true? The Gemara quotes the pasuk, as you know, Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Then we derive Zvizim Atzim the Mitzvos. Yerushalmi discusses Peret Aleph of Mesechus Moed Katan, the concept of Ein Mardin Simcha B'Simcha. How do you know that if the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you two various smachos, opportunities to rejoice, we don't try to combine, but rather each one is fulfilled in its fullest? The Gemara quotes the pasuk regarding Yaakov, Inu, Rachel, Emeya, Malei, Shavu, Azos, Ein Mardim, Simcha, B'Simcha. The Gemara discusses Nivamos, Nafmen, Be'ed, the concept of Havchana. How do we know, for example, that if a woman is divorced, or her husband dies, so she is not allowed to marry immediately, because that could result in the fact that now a child is soon born, and we will not know whether the father is the first husband, or whether it is the second husband, will require a 3-month waiting period. That is referred to as Havchana. The Gemara raises the question, how do we know Havchana is necessary? The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Bereishis Yud Zayin, V'yosloch Elokim uvizaracha acharecha, the need to preserve zaracha acharecha, to preserve lineage, to see to it that we can determine, this is the father, this is the mother, also derived from Kodem Matan Torah, the Gemara writes in Lo Vastra Kufayin Gimel, the concept of Arev, that I can take responsibility for another. Arev Mishtabed. The Gemara says, what is its source? Yehuda. Yehuda comes forward, she confronts Yosef regarding Binyamin, Anochi Arveno. In such a case, Yehuda tells his father that I will take full responsibility for my brother Binyamin, and therefore the Gemara says we can derive the concept that there is Arvus. These themes, no doubt, are critical, and yet they are gleaned from Kodem Matan Torah. This is an issue that the Acharon discussed. If you look in Nitziv and Shultos and Parshas Vayechi, when does one derive from Kodem Matan Torah and when in fact do you not? I would suggest the following distinction. It is clear as the Rambam writes. When it comes, for example, to the Mitzvah Hashem, to Tariyat Mitzvot, then it is clear that that is Torah Tziv Lana Moshe. You will not find a mitzvah in Tariyat Mitzvot which was given to us Kodem Matan Torah. That is the Gemara writes, Sanhedrin Daf Mem Tes, that that is something that was clearly reiterated or given to us at the time of Mamed Har Sinai. But yet, our observance of the Torah Hashem is not limited to Tariyag Mitzvot. You know, as Rashi comments at the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, if Chamisha Chumshei Torah was simply a book of mitzvot, the Torah did not have to begin with Sefer Bereishis. Let it begin with the first mitzvah, Shnei Tzavot B'Yisrael. Our observance of the Torah of Hashem is not limited to Tariyag Mitzvot. If something is explicit in Tariyag Mitzvot, no doubt it lends certain prominence and certain legitimacy, but yet one is able to go ahead and to glean the Ratzon Hashem, even from that which is not necessarily part of Taryag Mitzvos themselves. And therefore, perhaps one could suggest that possible distinction. It's clear, Taryag Mitzvos, that is considered to be Torah Tzivon Moshe. But yet, in terms of what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, expects, demands of us in such a case, that can be gleaned even from Avos, even from Kodem Matan Torah, not as a mitzvah mugderes, a mitzvah ktsuva, but rather as something which is termed Ratzon HaTorah. Where do you see that this concept is true? I've often mentioned, Rosh Weiss has written about this at length, that perhaps a model, right, of this concept is the Isser of Tzar Balei Chaim. The Gemara describes the Bava Metzian Daf Lamedeis, telling us clearly, as we assume the halacha, that Tzar Balei Chaim is daraisa. One cannot be abusive to an animal. The difficulty is the following. If I were to ask you, what is its source? Where do you see that there is an Isser of Tzar Balei Chaim? Where is the pasuk? You will be hard-pressed to point to a particular pasuk in order to demonstrate that Tzar Balei Chaim, in fact, is considered to be forbidden. If you look in Rosh Hashanah and Achram, you'll have at least 11 different suggestions in terms of where do you find the Isra of Tzar Balei Chaim. I'll mention two possibilities. One is Rashi, and that is it's derived from the whole parasha of Prika. After all, doesn't the Torah tell us, if you see an animal that is suffering under its load, so you're obligated to relieve the animal of that burden? Doesn't that chiyuv of prika indicate the concept of Tzar Balei Chaim? Or if you look, for example, in the Ravid and Shikim Kovetzis above Metzia, there the Ravid writes as follows. It's derived from the Isra of Chasima. The Torah tells us, both Satsum, Shor Bedisho, when an animal is working for you, plowing for you, it's inappropriate to muzzle that animal. You have to allow the animal free rein to be able to eat as it works. Why is it that the Torah is so concerned with the Isra of Chasima? That indicates that Tzar Balei Chaim is daraisa. The question is, what exactly does that mean? When Rashi writes that Tzar Balei Chaim is learned from Prika, or the Rabbi writes is learned from Nosafsam Shobedisho, what does that mean, Mahalaka? A person, let's say, is guilty of Tzar Balei Chaim. In such a case, he violates the Isra daraisa of Nosafsam Shobedisho. Well, certainly not. No? The speaking of Metzia and the Tzadik, there are many details to the halacha of Losafsam Shorbedisha. The animal has to be grazing, you have to muzzle, like details in terms of how in fact that is done. The Rabbi certainly does not mean that when a person engages in Tzar Balei Chaim, he violates the Isser Torah of Losafsam Shorbedisha and receives Malkus for Chasima. The Ravid means something as follows, that you can glean, you can derive from that parsha. The Isra of Chasima is a technical one. However, one can glean, derive from that Isra, that this is a priority of the Torah. The Rambam, for example, indicates as follows, that Bilam was criticized for hitting the Azon. The Rambam says, don't you see, therefore, that was wrong. That was inappropriate. Criticism means that this should be avoided. Well, what exactly does that mean? That's an Issa Daraisa, the fact that Bilam was criticized. From the criticism or the praise that the Torah gives for a particular conduct, one cannot necessarily argue that therefore it is part of Taryag Mitzvos, but it is clear that this is what the Torah desires or what the Torah tells us one is obligated to avoid. That is a concept of Ratzon HaTorah, that you can convey the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not merely through Taryag Mitzvot, that's a starting point, but even through other aspects, even dialogue, even the storyline of the Torah Tashem. And therefore, that is the significance of what Rashi and the Ravid explain, that you see from other technical mitzvot that this is considered to be a priority. And therefore, the Gemara writes that Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa. The Gemara doesn't say, and therefore Tzar Balei Chaim is a Midas Chasidus, and therefore you see Vasis Yoshev HaTov, one should adopt or avoid such a practice. The Gemara calls that Daraisa. Shiva Saradvaz writes a fascinating line, that Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa. It is not a Mitzvah Saseh, nor is it a Mitzvah Slo Saseh, but yet it is Daraisa. Because there is much more to the Torah Hashem simply than the Taryag Mitzvos themselves. And therefore, if something is a mitzvah, no doubt that In a technical sense, it adds prominence. Sometimes one will assume that A can be docha B because something is a mitzvah and another is not. But in terms of expectation, our observance of the Torah Hashem, that applies on a much broader scale. If you look, for example, in Sefer Yirmiyahu and Perek Yutes, you find that Knesset Yisrael were engaging in outrageous practices of Avodah Zarah. And the Navi criticizes Knesset Yisrael. Yirmiyahu says to Klal Yisrael, you're engaging in practices that lo tzivisi, and lo dibarti, and lo osa alibi. That's the phrase of the Navi. Lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, lo osa alibi. And Targum in that pasuk writes as follows. Lo tzivisi means baraisa. The Navi says you're engaging in practices that you're not commanded to perform in the Torah Hashem. There was no mitzvah that you should do this. And lo dibarti means ayidei dibur. I didn't convey to you through dibur, through a Navi, that this is something which is appropriate. And then lo osa alibi. What is that? Lo osa means the Targum writes, lo rava kadamai. It is not something that I desire. Kadosh Baruch Hu criticizes Knesset Yisrael through the Navi, telling us that you are engaging in practices that were not warranted min haTorah. They were not expressed al yedei Navi, nor is it a practice that I ever would have desired. That is Kadosh Baruch Hu's criticism of Knesset Yisrael. In a word, that our obligation in observance of the Torah Hashem is not only tzivisi and not only dibarti, but also osalimi, to glean what it is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would desire, and in such a case, this is considered to be part of the Ratzon Hashem. This is what the Chazon Ish writes, and that's the term he uses of Ratzon HaTorah in Yeredeya, in Siman Kuf Mem, when he discusses the issue of Kibud Av Va'Em. You know, you read the Sugya in Kedushin regarding Kibud Av Va'Em, and it sounds like a very technical mitzvah, no? What exactly is kibud? So you know, the Gemara tells us, Malbishu Machilu Mashkeyu, provide certain services to a parent. You have to make sure you provide them with food and drink and that they are dressed and so on. So the Chazon Ish writes as follows. And what about the intuitive kibud av va'em? What about the intuitive kibud av va'em? Not merely services per se, but rather simply what we consider to be, right, the appropriate cover that one would accord to parents. What exactly is that? The Rashba seems to indicate that that is not technically part of the mitzvah ktsuva of kibud av va'em, but rather that is part of that broader framework of the Ratzon HaTorah, which is also on the level of Daraisa. See, the Rashba in the beginning of Avamos is bothered by the following. The Gemara that you all know, but again the Rashba is quite bothered by the example, that if a parent will go in and instruct you to be Mechalel Shabbos, Yachal Yishmalo, that maybe you would think that you should listen to the parent. No, that is not true. Talmud Lomar, Acha Shabsosai Tishmaru, Kulchem Chayavim Bechvodi. If the parent instructs you to Mechalel Shabbos, so Shabbos will trump Kibud Av Va'Em. What exactly is the case? The Rashba is quite bothered. No? The Torah says to observe Shabbos, and the father says, do not observe Shabbos. That's a conflict. That's Kibud Av Va'Em versus Shmir Shabbos. And the only resolution is the pasuk that tells me, Acha Shabsosai Tishmaru Kulchem Chayavim Bechvodi. Why is that considered to be Kibud Av Va'Em at all? No? The Gemara mentions, right, a father who's a Kohen says to his son, the Kohen, go take a walk in the Beis HaKadosh. Yachal Yishmalo? No. Acha Shabsosai Tishmaru. Why is that considered to be Kibud Av Va'Em at all? So the Rashba writes as follows. But no, that's not the case. Where a father just says, go be Mitame yourself. Where a father says, I insist that you're Mechalel Shabbos. That's not the case. Right? Kibud Av Va'Em requires you have to provide certain services. So a father insists on a particular service, you know, I desire that food, and the food is positioned in the Beis HaKadosh. Maybe you would think by providing that service, a Kohen can become Tameh. That is Kulchem Chayavim Bechvodi. But if the father will just simply assume, go be Mitameh yourself, that is not the case. So if you look carefully in the Rashba writes the following. See, I could have said this. When a father requests or is in need of a particular service, that is Kibud Av Va'Em. If a father will just simply say to his son a Kohen, make yourself Tameh, maybe that is not called Kibud Av Va'Em at all. The Rashba doesn't write that. The Rashba writes as follows, that when the father goes in and asks or is in need of a service, that is the quality of kibbut av ha'em that you would have thought can override other isurim. But when a father simply will go in and tell you, make yourself tamei, that is not a form of kibbut av ha'em that would warrant the chiyas isurim. So the Gaon and the Chazon Ish point out that it seems from the Rashba that that is also called kibbut av ha'em, even though it's not part of the technical aspect of the mitzvah of kibbut av ha'em, but nonetheless it is part of the broader mitzvah. It's just that that is insufficient to override other isurim. And that's what the Chazon Ish discusses. What are these two tiers of the Rashba of kibbut av ha'em? And his answer is that there is the mitzvah ktsuva, the mitzvah mugderes, the technical root mitzvah, and that is providing certain services. And then there is the broader aspect of the ratzon ha'torah, the intuitive sense of kibbut av ha'em. It's an important element that aside from various aspects of the technical mitzvah, there is, in the broader sense, the ratzon ha'torah as well. The Me'iri seems to stress this. We discussed in earlier shiurim the concept of hidur mitzvah. It's hard necessarily to exactly understand what is the chiyuv of hidur mitzvah. Good? The Gemara writes in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel, Zek Keli Vanveil Hisnala Fanaba Mitzvos. A person is obligated to perform the mitzvahs of Hashem in a beautiful fashion, to have a lulavna, a sukkana, a shofrana. A person should be passionate about the performance of mitzvahs. But I ask you, what exactly is that? Is it mentioned in the Torah of Hashem? Yes, the drasha, zek keli vanveil. But there also other question. It's not mentioned as a tzivui, zek keli vanveil. It is recorded in the Shira Sayam. But it's not mentioned as a mitzvah mugderes. And also, this is something that as well is called a matan Torah. What exactly does that mean? Is this one of Tariq Mitzvahs? You will not find, generally, that the Rishonim will count Hidra Mitzvah as one of the Tariq Mitzvahs themselves. But yet, I would argue as follows, that if, in fact, it is recorded in the Shira Sayam, you see the appropriateness of Kibbut av ha'em. That's what the Meiri writes in Shabbos, Nafkuf Lamed Gimel, that Kibbut av ha'em is something which is fully appropriate. It's something which is expected because of Zek Keli Vandeo Hisnalafano Benitzos. It is not written as a tzivoy, but nonetheless it is contained in Shira Sayam, and therefore that becomes an expectation. That part of the observance of the Torah Sashem means that mitzvah should be performed with a sense of beauty, a sense of splendor, and that one can refer to as Daraisa. If you look in the Ravid, for example, in the Sugi and Sukra, and the Daf Yaralef, the Ravid is clear that Hidra Mitzvah is Daraisa, even if it's not necessarily a mitzvah ktsuva that is part of Minyan HaMitzvos themselves. This, the Miri writes in Sachem and Daf Dalet, is true, for example, of Zrizim Matim Mitzvos. Why is it that you think the Torah goes out of its way and records the passion, the enthusiasm, the speed with which Avraham Avinu would perform the mitzvahs Hashem, not simply in order to praise Avraham Avinu, but to serve as a model for our avodas Hashem. And therefore, if the Torah includes that as a model, that is considered to be, right, Ratzon HaTorah. Do you think that Kadosh Baruch Hu was only pleased with the zrizus of Avraham Avinu, but our performance of mitzvahs can be done in a more delinquent way? Certainly not. The Torah records this concept of Zrizim Atim the Mitzvos in order to instruct us, in order to tell us that concept of Zrizos on a level of Daraisa, and in such a case that is considered to be Daraisa, even if it's not necessarily part of the Minyan HaMitzvos as well. If Yehuda is praised for Yehuda stepping up and taking responsibility for Binyamin, the Anochi Erveno, in such a case it is not simply to praise Yehuda, but to tell us that this is something which is, in fact, appropriate. And that's why the Gemara can glean various aspects of Arvos from the conduct, from the behavior of Yehuda. And we can refer to that as being Daraisa, even if it is not necessarily part of the Taryag Mitzvah Hashem. That's an important concept that we have of Ratzon HaTorah, the criticism of Knesset Yisrael, that they were failing to observe not only the mitzvahs Hashem, but even the Ratzon HaTorah as well. perhaps this is relevant when it comes to our issue. When you're dealing with a technical mitzvah, a mitzvah such as Bris Milah, or an Isser such as Gil Hanasha, or even perhaps aspects of Avelos, that is where the Gemara tells us the Chila made the Mikodah Matan Torah. The mitzvah of Bris Milah cannot be derived from Parshas Lech Lecha. That is derived from Torah Tzivlan Moshe. But when you're dealing with these concepts which strike us as being Ratzon HaTorah, concept of Jesus, or appreciating the brachas that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, Malei Shavu Azos, or the concept of Arvus, or the need to preserve the integrity, the Yichus of Knesset Yisrael, these are themes that no doubt can be derived from even Kodem Matan Torah as well, and perhaps that's a possible resolution. Nitzos Mugdoros. That is Torah Tzibon Emotion. You want to know a technical issue, whether Gid Anashe is found on a Behema Torah or as well a Behema Temeya, regarding the details of a Gid Amino Sintam, a Yisra Kalisa, that you don't look to the others. That you have to look to Torah Tzibon Emotion, Rabbeinu. You want to determine whether Yom Hashmin and Brismi is linked to days of Tuma and Tara, in such a case, that you have to look to the Tzibu of La'achar Matan Torah. But in broad strokes, the behavior, the conduct of the Avos, right, that is something one can no doubt glean from. And the Chiddush is the following. Sometimes we will argue, you know, what is that called? That is called Amidas Chasidus. That is called Asisa Yashav Atov. That is called Kedoshim Tiyu. The suggestion is the following. No, that is not true. In these cases, a person would abuse an animal. You wouldn't turn to that person and say, you know, Vasisa Yashav Atov. You wouldn't turn to him and say, Kedoshim Tiyu. You would turn to him and say, the Gemara writes above Metzian Daf Lamed Beis, Sar Balei Chaim Daraisa. You would not tell him this is a Midas Chasidus. This area of Ratzon HaTorah is something we call Daraisa. And this is relevant when it comes to many, many different concepts. As mentioned, a Hidur Mitzvah, a Sar Balei Chaim, the Mitzvah Lishmo LeDivrei Chachamim, Kibud Av Ve'Eim, so many different aspects of Torah in its broader sense is rooted in this concept of Ratzon HaTorah. But no doubt, when it comes to a mitzvah, it's clear, the mitzvah is framed, the mitzvah is defined. When it comes to Ratzon HaTorah, there one has to establish that this in fact is considered to be the Ratzon HaTorah. And that sometimes requires a certain level of rigor precisely because it is not explicit, it is not as obvious, it's not delineated, but nonetheless, undeniably, there is that concept of the Ratzon HaTorah itself. So Avraham Avinu was given that chiyuv of Bris Milah. We can glean certain aspects from the mitzvah of Avraham Avinu, but our chiyuv, as the Rambam writes, of Bris Milah, that stems from Torah Tzivalon Moshe. In fact, the Gemara even points out, Yevamos and Daf Ayin Aleph, that the obligation of Avraham Avinu in the performance of Bris Milah was not identical to that which we do. After all, Avraham Avinu was only commanded regarding one element, one aspect of Bris Milah, and that was the Or HaMilah, but Avraham Avinu was not Nitzavo Or HaPriya. When we go ahead and perform a Nitzvah Bris Milah, it is necessary to fully uncover the Aver, to be able to remove the Or HaMilah, and to remove or roll back the inner lying skin, the inner membrane, the Or HaPriya as well. The Gemara writes this was not true regarding Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was Nitzav al Hamila, but not Nitzav al HaPriya. How do we know that one is obligated to perform Priya? That Tosus explains that is Allah HaMoshe Misinai. The Gemara of Amos Ayin Aleph quotes a posuk from Sefer Yeshua, Shuv Malas Bnei Yisrael Shenis, repeat the Bris Milah. The Gemara is troubled. There are certain mitzvot that cannot be repeated. It means that there is another facet to the obligation of Bris Milah, and that is not only Milah, but also Priya as well. So it also says, how can the Gemara derive this from a posuk in Yeshua, Ein Navi Rishai L'chadesh Davar? Tosus answers that this is a halacha Moshe Misinai. The chiv of Avraham Avinu in Bris Milah, that was Or HaMilah. And for us, we have to go ahead and remove the Or HaPriya as well. In fact, the Mishnah tells us that Mo V'lo Parah, if only Mila is done in HaPriya, Ki Ilo Mo, that is insufficient. The mitzvah is not fulfilled. The child will remain in Orel. Both are considered to be critical. Mila and Priya as well. That is the Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's interesting. How is it that you understand this Halacha Moshe Misinai of Priyas HaMila? See, there are two different types of halacha l'moshe misina. This Rav Chaim discusses in a very different context, per Yud, Hatochos Machalos Asuros, that when you come across the Gemara that tells us, this is a Halacha Moshe Sinai, one can understand Halacha Moshe Sinai in two very different ways, and both undoubtedly exist min HaTorah. Sometimes Halacha Moshe Sinai is an enhancement. Halacha Moshe Sinai broadens the concept min HaTorah. In other words, if I only had the Pasuk, I would interpret the Pasuk in this fashion. The Halacha Moshe Sinai is an expansion of that which is Mufurish Bikra. And sometimes you can have Halacha Moshe Sinai that teaches us something which is a new identity, a new concept, a new category that is not alluded to at all in Torah, Shebichsav. And these are two different types of Halacha Moshe Sinai. A Halacha HaMifareshes means the Halacha simply is an expansion of. A Halacha Mechadeshes means Halacha Moshe Sinai that creates a new concept, a new identity, a new category. Rav Chaim points out as follows. The Gemara writes in Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches, Orla, in Chutz Laretz, is the Halacha Moshe Sinai. If I was just looking at the Pasuk, I would say, Orla is limited to Eretz Yisrael. Ki Savo El Haaretz. And here, all of a sudden, no, the Halacha Moshe Sinai, the Orla exists, even in Chutz Laretz as well. Halacha Moshe Sinai. You look in Perek Yud Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the fasting of Machlokes, the Rambam and the Gaonim, what about Ravai? Orla, yes. Explicit in the Gemara. What about Ravai? Do I assume, well, if Orla, yes, Orla goes hand in hand with Ravai? Or do I argue that no, in Chutz Laretz, only Orla and not Ravai? Interesting condition. The Rambam writes, Orla, yes, Ravai, no. And they'll only maintain, if Orla, then Ravai. Rav Chaim explains, that is the Machlokes. The Rambam and the Gaonim, what is the nature, right, of this halacha, the Moshe Sinai? And Rav Chaim explains as follows. If it is one of Mifreshes, of expansion, it means the following. You know, if I just had the Pasuk, I would have said that Ki Sabal Aretz means only in Eretz Yisrael are you obligated to observe these halachos. The halacha Moshe Sinai tells us, but no, you know what Ki Sabal Aretz means? Not where, but when. When? When do these halachos kick in? When you enter Eretz Yisrael, but they apply universally. So therefore, the Halacha Moshe Sinai tells us that the Parsha, which one would have thought is limited to Eretz Yisrael, that is expanded, and that applies even to Chutz Laretz as well. And that Parsha entails not only Orla, but also Ravai as well. And therefore, if Orla, then Ravai, that is the view of the Gaonim. The Rambam maintains that it's not true, that Orla, from the Torah Shebichsav perspective, is limited to Eretz Yisrael. And there is a new category, a new concept of Orla in Chutz Laretz, which is not necessarily an extension or an expansion of Orla in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, even if you know that there are certain details of Orla in Eretz Yisrael, such as not only Orla but even Ravai, that is not true when it comes to Chutz Laretz. In a word, the Rambam writes that Orla in Chutz Laretz is Halacha HaMechadeshes, the Gaonim it's Halacha HaMefereshes. And Rav Chaim points out this is clear from a later Rambam as well. The Rambam, the same parak, Rav Yud, Hatochos Machalos Asuros, later writes as follows. A person violates this Rav Orlan Chutz Laretz. The Rambam writes, there is no Malkus min HaTorah. The Onesh of Malkus is only Malkus Mardus, which is the Rabbanan. Why is that true? Is there Malkus in Halacha Moshe Sinai? Because, you know, in order to get Malkus, it's not enough that the Torah says, do not do something. It has to be a prohibition which is explicit. It has to be mefurish v'kra. The Torah has to use one of four terms, either lo, hishomer, pen, or al. If the Torah tells us not to do something, but either it's not explicit, or even if it is explicit, let's assume it's a lav, haba, mechlal, essay, it's derived, but it is not told to us as a los essay. Let's assume a person who frees an Eved Kanani, right, he violates an Issa Torah, but it is not a los essay, rather la'olam bahem tavodu. That's what we call a lav haba michlal essay. Sometimes from a positive formulation you can derive a prohibition. There's no malchus on a lav haba michlal essay, because the only time there is malchus is when you have a lav that is mefurish b'kra, lo hishamer pen, or al. What about Halacha Moshe Sinai? Well, it depends. If it's Halacha Moshe Sinai, which is Mifareshes, in such a case, then it's possible to envision Malkus. After all, because this is not a new Isser, this is an extension of the Lav, which is Mufurish Bekra, and one could envision, according to the Gaonim, if the Isser of Arla is not limited to Eretz Yisrael, but Rav Achmosh Nisina tells us that it extends to Kutlaret, Arla is a Lav, which is Mufurish Bekra, but according to Ram, that's not true. Arla, yes, Rav, I know, because this is an independent Halakha Moshe Misinai, and as such, there is no Revai, and therefore, there's no Malkus, even for Arla, in Chutzlaret. That's what Chaim explains, is the view of the Rambam Shita. It's fascinating, two different models of Halakha Moshe Misinai. Whenever in the course of your learning you come across Halakha Moshe Misinai, you always have to ask yourself, is this category A? Is this category B? Is this an expansion of that which is Mefurish Bekra, or is this considered to be Inu Halakha Moshe Misinai? I'll give a fascinating example. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, a Kohen who doesn't have a Bris Milah, he's not allowed to do Avoda. And what happens if he does so? The Rambam writes, a Kohen Orel She'ogad Loke, he gets Malkus Daraisa. You know what the difficulty is? How can he get Malkus Daraisa? This is not Mefurish Bekra, this is Halakha Moshe Misinai. And the Rambam himself writes, you don't get Malkus for Halakha Moshe Misinai. Do you know who answers this question? The Rambam. Because the Rambam in Perek Vav Bias HaMikdash tells us, a Kohen who's an Orel, who does Avoda, gets Malkus. You know why? Because the Rambam writes that because Harehu Zar. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. He doesn't have the Kedushas Kohen necessary to do the Avoda. Why is the Rambam adding that point? See, if you were to argue that there's a Psul of Orel, the Psul of Orel is not found in Torshin itself. And therefore, how can he get Malkus? The Rambam is telling you a Chiddush, which is very relevant to Bris Milah, and that is Bris Milah is not merely a mitzvah. You know what Bris Milah is? A Mekadesh. It's a Mekadesh. Now, intuitively, we know that that's true. Now, you attend a Bris Milah, you see that there is, right, the Chalos Orel, there's the Chalos Milah, Chosim Bos Bris Kodesh, a Knisa Lebris, a Brach of Lahachniso. There's so many indicators that Bris Milah is not merely a mitzvah. Bris Milah is a hachnasa lebris. It's a mekadesh. So the Rambam writes this great Chiddush lahalacha, that if a Kohen lacks a Bris Milah, he doesn't have the requisite Kedusha to perform Avoda. You know what it is called when one who performs Avoda who lacks Kedusha? That is a Zar. And therefore, the Rambam writes that a Kohen Orel Sha'avad, you know why he gets Malkus? Because he's not considered to be a recognized Kohen for the purpose of, right, Avoda. It's a fascinating possibility. In other words, the Halacha Moshe Misina that a Kohen requires Bris Milah is not Mifkadeshes, but rather Mifareshes. It is explaining to us the condition of Kohen. A Kohen to do Avoda, right, has to have the Yichus of a Kohen. He has to have a Bris Milah. Maybe not even the third requirement of the list. No, the Gemara is talking that the Kohen has to wear the Big Day Kuhuna. If he doesn't wear the Big Day Kuhuna, the Avoda is Mechulalis. It's not just simply that he violated an Isser, but the Avoda is invalid. The Gemara has a very striking phrase. Bizman should be Dayan Alehen, Kuhunasan Alehen. When he wears the Big Day Kuhuna, there he attains the status of a Kohen Lavoda. Without Big Day Kuhuna, he doesn't have the status of Kohen Lavoda. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the need to wear the Big Day Kuhuna is not just simply a mitzvah, but that is what readies the Kohen for Avoda. It's Machshir, it's a Mekadesh. When the Kohen does the Big Day Kuhuna, it's an interesting issue. Why do you have to wear Big Day Kuhuna? Right? Worthy of another shir, is that Litzorech HaKohen, or is that Litzorech HaAvoda? Is that a detail of Avoda, or is that, no, that is what lends Kedusha to the Kohen. It sounds very much like, Bizman Shebigdeinu Kunasna Lehen, right, that it is a detail within the Kedusha's Kohen, LaAvoda, the Biskarab writes, that's why the Ram doesn't count Mukhusr Begadim as a separate Isser. It's not a separate Isser. A Kohen, as opposed to a Zar. A Kohen has to do Avoda. How do you define a Kohen? The Yechus of a Kohen, Bris Milah, Big Day Kahuna, Bizman Shebig Deinu Kunasan Aleyen. That perhaps is the Chiddush of the Rambam. In other words, that the Halacha Moshe Misinai, that this is required, that the Kohen has to have a bris milah, that is an indicator of the role of bris milah as a mekadesh. As a mekadesh. And without that, you don't have the kedushas haguf that is necessary for the purpose of avodah. It's a halacha, not mekadeshes, but rather mefareshes, if it defines the Torah concept of a Kohen avodah. I would suggest this is even true when it comes to a non-Kohen, that you see the two halachos of bris milah. Bris milah is not merely a mitzvah, but it is a mekadesh. It is a mekadesh. The two brachos, the bracha that the Mora recites of Al Hamila, that is a straight birchas hamitzvah. The bracha of Lahachniso, that is an indicator of chalos, of the Tosefes Kedusha, that applies at that particular time. And it is clear that when it comes to the aspect of bris milah is a mitzvah which is equal to chalos. It is not necessarily the maisa mitzvah, but rather it is the effect, the totzos mitzvah. The fact that one now is chosum this osprey kodesh, and the fact that a person no longer is considered to be an orel. This is what the Marach or Zeruah writes, kuf chav ches, when it comes to the sugi of shlichus. Yeah, in yeshivas they always call it the totzos kodushim. When does shlichus work, and when does shlichus not work when it comes to mitzvahs? But a beautiful formulation is found much, much earlier in Marach Bar Zeruah Kuf Chav Ches. Marach Bar Zeruah writes the following, that when it comes to Mitzvah Hashem, there are two primary categories. Sometimes, both when it comes to Mitzvah Sase and Mitzvah Lo Sase, the Torah stresses the act, the Maisa HaMitzvah, or the Maisa Avera. And sometimes the Torah does not stress the act as much as the consequence, the Totzah, the Pol Yotze, the Chalos. And Marach Rezor writes, that's the secret to the Sugya of Shlichus. When the Torah stresses the act, then one cannot envision Shlichus. If the Torah tells me that I must don tefillin, I must wear tzitzis, I must sit in sukkah, so what exactly do you mean that I can perform that mitzvah and discharge that ayyadeh acherim? He will go ahead and put on tefillin, and I discharge my obligation. That certainly is not true. What is the source of shlichus? Where do you find that shlichus works? Shlichus, the Gemara derives from Gittin, from Kedushin, from Shumas Maisras, Kain Tarimu Gam Atem Rabo Shluchachem, a concept of shlichus. You know what is a common denominator in all those cases of Gittin, Kedushin, Afrasha, Shumas, and Maisras? Chalos. Chalos. A person has tevel, right? The tevel is Aser Bakima. A person goes at and now designates his Truma and Maisra, and lo and behold, he has tefillah that has a kedusha of truma, a kedusha of maaser, and he has chulin misukana that he can partake. Is that incidental? Of course not. No, that is the thrust of the hafrasha. The purpose of the hafrasha is to be misakim the tree, the totsah, the chalos, the result of chulin misukanim, of kedushas truma, of maaser. There you understand very well that that result, that totsah, that poyotse, that can be accomplished. It's true, the Rambam writes there's a mitzvah of kiyikach ish isha, mitzvah of kedushin. But clearly, kedushin is driven by what it accomplishes. Now, as a result of the mitzvah kedushin, the couple is married. The woman is an ishis ish. There's eris and there's nisuin. That effect, that's irrelevant. Of course not. That is the nature of kedushin itself. It is ikra b'totzah. And in such a case, that's where we argue that there's a possibility of shlichus, that the act can be done ayyadei acherim as long as the outcome, the effect, is in fact accomplished. And sometimes, Rav Zeruah writes even a step further, sometimes you don't even need shlichus. Sometimes if you can demonstrate that there's a mitzvah which is solely the effect, you don't even need shlichus for such a mitzvah. No? The Torah tells us, for example, a person has an unguarded roof. Let's assume, for example, your front lawn, you walk and walk and walk, and all of a sudden, if you're not walking, watching where you're walking, you can fall because there's a sudden drop, right? They have a retaining wall, very, very common. No? In such a case, a person has to see to it the safeguard. No? There's a chiyuv of asiyas maka l'tagecha. It's not limited to a guard, right? But rather, any such configuration, one is obligated in maka. So I'll ask you, why is that true? The Torah tells us because of simas damim. There's an aspect of a hazard, no? That a person can go ahead and walk and fall and hurt himself, and therefore it's necessary to go ahead and to do so. Machne Ephraim writes, based on the Tshuva Sarashba. So So I'm not so good, right, with carpentry, and I'm not so good at building fences, so I'm going to have someone else do it on my behalf. Do you need shlichus? Do you need shlichus? Right, that'll be a good advertisement for the frum carpenter. Now that you need a shlichus, shlichus is only for a Yisrael, not for a Ben Noach. You need someone who is Yeshno B'Torah, and in such a case, is that true? I have to be hired in order to go ahead and to create the makula and the gacha. What do you mean that the non-Jewish worker can go ahead and build a fence and secure the roof, and I will fulfill that chiyuv of basisa makula gagacha? So the Piskei Teshuva, right, based on the Teshuvas Rashi, but absolutely. Because if I were to ask you, Maka, is that maisa hamitzvah or is that chalos? You would certainly tell me that's chalos. No? Banging in the nails is like eating matzah. Banging in the nails is putting on tefillin, you'll tell me, but no. The mitzvah is securing, right? The God securing the property. That is pure chalos. That's an interesting chiddush. That, the Tshuvas Rashba writes, that does not even require shlichus. There you don't even need shlichus. In cases where the Torah simply emphasizes the act, their shlichus will not help. That's what we call a mitzvah shibagufo. In cases where it is entirely tilsa, like a siyas makala gageto, in such a case that's true as well. The Tispi Shuva discusses, for example, when it comes to tvilas kelim al yedein ocherim. Right? It's an interesting issue, right? How you can make sure that the tvilas kelim really occur on a level of nemanos. So maybe someone should sit there and make sure to watch that the tefillah came was done properly. But it doesn't require necessarily the same degree of bar chiyuv when it comes to tefillah kelim as when it comes to other mitzvot, even when it comes to bris milah. Malchor Zeruah suggests that maybe bris milah does not require shlichus. All of our mo'alim are machmir, no, so to speak, to see to it that the father appoints the mo'al as the shliach. But that is very questionable whether shlichus is necessary. It's fascinating. You find three tales in the Rishonim, extremes. Maybe shlichus does not even work. Maybe it's like putting on tefillin. And obviously, if a father cannot perform the milah, so the next tier is to see to it that the child is mohul, but maybe there is no form of shlichus. Or the mid-position, maybe that no, that's like condition, like hafrashas tumas and maaseros, that shlichus, in fact, is necessary, and shlichus works. And maybe a third position of shlichus is not even necessary at all. As long as the father will see to it that the child is mohul, he's chosom bos chris kodesh, he's no longer an orel, that is the chiyuv of bris milah, not necessarily the act of bris milah itself. Milah is a fascinating example where that is considered to be an ikro b'chalos, that Tos, for example, describes that a katan is not a barachi of shlichus. A katan, it's clear, can perform a bris milah, can perform a milah k'sherah. The only issue one could raise is if you require shlichus, a katan cannot properly represent the avi haben. But if a katan will perform an act of bris milah, the milah is considered to be a milah k'sherah. Let's assume there is no father. The katan can perform, right, a bris milah. You don't require necessarily a bar chiyuva in the mitzvah of bris milah. Because if it is hikro, b'chalos, and the Gemara describes in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Zayin, the fact that a guy cannot serve as a mohel. How do you know that that's true? I would have said it's obvious. A guy is not included in bris milah. A guy cannot pull shofar for me. A guy cannot go ahead and perform a mitzvah on my behalf. A guy cannot perform bris milah. The Gemara knows. The Gemara calls psukim to indicate that this is true. There are psukim that exclude a guy. Either hamo yimo, or brisi tishmar, or those included in the bris, it's a chiddush that you require psukim to tell you that a guy cannot perform bris milah. Because maybe one would have argued, if it's ikru b'tosa, maybe one could have thought it's like making that makel l'dagecha in such a case that if the tosa occurs, that is considered to be sufficient. So the pasuk has to go out of its way and tell us that a guy cannot perform bris milah. And today is in Tosus, today is in the Gemara, today is in the Halacha, whether a woman can perform a bris milah. She's not obligated to bris milah, but do you require bar chiyuv? But not necessarily. And the possibility of a katan serving as a mohel. All this points to those aspects of ikro b'chalos. It's a fascinating aspect to bris milah, that bris milah is not only the mitzvah bris milah, but there is the concept of the chalos, Hamila as well. And that I thought is indicated in this Kiddush of the Rambam Shita regarding a Kohen. When a Kohen lacks Bris Mila, so he lacks the requisite Kiddush. It's not just simply that a mitzvah was not performed, but he lacks a Kiddush of Sagot. That element in evident in the Chalos Hamila. And just a diuk in Sukkim, when you look throughout Parshas Lechlecha as an example, you'll find that sometimes it seems that the Torah refers to Bris Mila in Binyan Kal. You must perform the Bris Mila, for example, Himo Yimo in the Gemara's Rasha. Or sometimes the Torah uses the Nifal, right? Nimo. Perhaps one could suggest the following Chiddush, that Nifal seems to emphasize not the act of, but rather the totsah of, the effect of the Bris Mila itself. Nimo and Nimolu, perhaps indicating these two halachos. So that's the Chiddush of Marachor Zeruah. So in a word, Bris Mila, right, has multiple aspects to this. The Maisa Hamila, right, the Chalos Hamila, the Chiddush when it comes to the Rambam Sheet regarding Kedusha, the Chiddush Marachor Zeruah in reference to cases of shlichus, and as he began, the overall structure of the Rambam Shita, the technical aspects of the mitzvah, that's derived from Torah Tzivon Moshe. But yet, the concept of the Ratzon Hashem, the Ratzon HaTorah, with all of its breadth and beauty, that no doubt can be gleaned even from Kodem Matan Torah.
Right.